So 22 verses, 577 words. They are the most intense, descriptive, powerful words found anywhere in the Word of God when it comes to the description of false teachers.
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn.
Happy Monday and welcome. On the program today, we continue Pastor Bill's study in the Epistle of 2 Peter. So let's join Pastor with today's message, False Teachers.
We have before us 22 verses, of which we're only going to cover 9, okay? So 22 verses, 577 words. They are the most intense, descriptive, powerful words found anywhere in the Word of God when it comes to the description of false teachers. God is not fond of those who pervert the good news of Jesus Christ. Amen? So this is a serious text. It's so serious that Peter, he, through the power of the Holy Spirit, he devotes an entire chapter on the subject of false teachers. Now, it's very important this morning that we remember why 2 Peter was written, okay? It was written that the believer might grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In other words, to grow, we know we stand in the grace of God. But, loved one, we need to know the Word of God. We need to know what we believe, but we also need to know why we believe it. Amen? And immature Christians, oh, I tell you, false teachers, they love immature Christians because they can manipulate them, if you will, in the hearing of whatever they teach. So this morning, any pastor, any teacher in seminary, anywhere, anybody that teaches God's Word, let's just use me, any teacher can innocently misinterpret a text. I've done that. Every pastor has done that. It's a growing process. Do you understand? As you teach the Word of God over many, many years, what happens is that the Word of God that you started teaching 40-some-odd years ago is much, much deeper 40 years later. And so no matter, you know, when you come out of seminary, that doesn't mean you got it together. No, I don't even want to go there. But listen to me. The fact is that I can, and I don't believe I am now, but I can innocently misinterpret Scripture. But the key is this. I'm innocent. I didn't do it deliberately. I would never do that. But a false teacher, they know what they're doing. They know exactly what they're doing, and they are deliberate in their teaching. They know exactly what they want to do. They are enemies of Christ and enemies of the Christian. They are not born again. They are heretics. They are ministers of Satan. They're savage wolves. That's what Paul called them. Amen? Is that okay for me to say that? Or are somebody going to email me and go, why are you beating up those false teachers? Thank you, thank you. So the Holy Spirit, in a sense to me, he explodes in Peter's heart. And these 22 verses here, you know, if you read the Epistle of Jude, okay, it's almost a mirror copy of 2 Peter. So with all of that being said, as we look at this, we're going to see that these intense descriptions and words of these false teachers, they're going to teach us something. Number one, they're going to teach us how to spot them. But number two, they're going to teach us their doom, if you will. God's judgment is certain and it is clear. They will be judged. Amen? So with all that being said, let's try to set this up just a little bit this morning as we're going to talk about false teachers. This is part one. I'll cover the Lord willing next Sunday, part two. But you know, we live in a world where false teaching is all over the world, isn't it? I mean, you know, there are many people, for example, let's take Mormonism, okay? Mormonism is a false theology. Now, and there are some wonderful people that are Mormons. They are godly people. They live godly, man. But, loved one, the Book of Mormon is not from God. The Watchtower is not from God. Okay. Now you say, well, Bill, are you beating on that? Listen, there is only one book, and it is the Bible. It came to us from heaven. Amen? There's no other. This is it. We have the truth. And Jesus said, if you shall know the truth, then the truth will set you free. But if you don't know the truth, how's it going to set you free? Amen? And so that's very important that we know God's word. We study God's word. We live in a world this morning. You know what I was going to title this sermon? Fake news. I really was. I told Paul Kuga, I said, you want to know the Wednesday night? I said, you want to know the title of the message I think I'm going to be telling? He said, what is it? I said, fake news. Not good news, fake news. That's what false teachers do. Do you know the truth of the matter is there's more fake news today, not only concerning the gospel, but everything else. I mean, you have to fact check everything you read and everything you see today. But that's all a setup, loved one. All those things are set up. Listen, did you know when we talk about fake news, okay? Did you know, literally, to be honest about it, that most Americans today, Americans, they're getting their information almost entirely from outlets that echo their political view. Now, I want you to fact check what I'm about to say. You ready? Here it comes. There are more fake news sites posing as legitimate local news in the United States than there are news sites of legitimate local newspapers. True or false? True. Can you believe that? But here's what, see, my focus when I look at the world and the things that are happening in our society, our culture, I have a different lens, I think, sometimes. Do you look through life with a biblical worldview? That's the only way. Listen, history is his story. So all the things that are happening, it's just a setup. It's a grooming, if you will, for the people of this world to believe someone. And that's someone who is a liar. Someone who, you're talking about fake news, he has fake news. He's called the Antichrist. The Bible says in Revelation 13:8 that he is going to be so loved and so admired, this political genius, this religious genius, this economic genius. He is so charismatic that the whole world will worship him whose names are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Oh, what this person that's coming. See, all this is a major grooming, if you will. Everything will finally end up in that. Amen? And how do I know that? Well, let me give you the scripture. It says in 2 Thessalonians 2:9, the coming of the lawless one, the Antichrist, the man of sin, Satan's man. It says the coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan with all power, signs, and here it is, lying wonders. A lying wonder is not a lie. It's true. But the lying wonder is to make you believe the lie. It's to deceive you to believe his lies. With all unrighteous deception among those who perish because they did not welcome the love of the truth. And for this reason, because they didn't love the truth of God's word, God will send them strong delusion that they should believe the lie. What is the lie? The is a specific lie. And we learned when we talked through Thessalonians, that lie is that man will love the man of sin more than the Son of God. You follow me? And God will send him that strong delusion. Now listen, Paul told us, he said in 1 Timothy 4:1, the Spirit expressly says that in the latter times, are we living in the latter days? Okay. He says some, not all, but some will depart from the faith. Some will depart from the truth. And the reason they will give heed, they'll listen carefully to deceiving spirits and doctrines or teachings of demons. What a word. Well, who teaches doctrines of demons? Does a demon get up here and do it? No, demons use what? People. They use false teachers, okay? Now, with all that being said, let me give you an example of a false teacher that I kind of keep up with him to see the lies that he's spreading. Now, let me just read the last thing he said, okay? He said here, and it's a local church, he said, biblical inerrancy is hurting people. It leads to all kinds of sins against your neighbor. And he's talking about same-sex marriage and homosexuality and all the rest. He says here, he said, would you stop the damage? Would you let inerrancy go? Too many Christians worship the Bible and pay no attention to Jesus. And he goes on, he says, God is love, yes. But at the same time, God killed the firstborn sons of the Egyptians. Love your neighbor, yes. But if your neighbors are Amalekites, God says destroy all of them, the men, the women, the children, even the babies. Now, for those who read the Bible as inerrant, he says God is love sometimes. You know, he says, but why don't you put Jesus first in reading the Bible? His standards do not change. Now, to someone who doesn't know God's word, to an immature Christian who has never really, the only time they ever hear God's word is when they attend church. Do you understand? That right there is like music to their ears. Well, that kind of makes sense, doesn't it? Why would God, if God is love, why would he do those things? Listen to me. The God of the Old Testament is the same God of the New Testament. God does not change. His love does not change. Amen? So what did this man just say? The authority of Scripture is not all true. He's saying that the Word of God is not inerrant. He is saying that you can't take all of the Bible as true because it doesn't add up. Well, this man is totally deceived. Do you understand? He is a false teacher, and he's bringing a false hope and a false gospel to people, and he's going to be judged for it. He does not believe that the Bible is God-breathed, okay? Inerrancy. Remember from last Sunday? Inerrancy, defined, is used to explain that the Bible is completely true, contains no errors in the original writing. So that is a perfect segue or perfect transition, smooth transition now into chapter 2. But I want us to start our study this morning on false teachers in chapter 1 and look back what we learned last Sunday in verse 20. Peter writes and he says, knowing this first, so this is priority, that no prophecy of Scripture, the Word of God, Scripture, is of any private interpretation, meaning it's not of one's own personal interpretation. It did not originate in any of the writers in a person's own mind. Let's put it that way. For prophecy never came by the will of man, the word of God. Well, how did it come? He says, but holy men of God spake. And how did they do it? They wrote. How did they write? As they were moved by the Holy Spirit. The word moved, remember, in the Greek is a picture of a ship, a sailing vessel, and the wind is powerful and it pushes that vessel along. It controls it, it directs it. And that's what Peter is saying here. It means that all of the Word of God is given by inspiration of God. It is God-breathed. The Bible that you hold in your hand or your whatever it is you have, iPad or whatever they use today, the fact is it doesn't just contain the Word of God. It is the Word of God, and it is God's direct Word to you and to me, and we have the only book that came from heaven to this planet. Amen? Now, in the original writings, okay, there is absolutely not one error. It is absolutely perfect. The Word of God is true from cover to cover in the original writings. Amen? And that's very important that we understand and see that. Now, let me tell you something, one more thing before we begin about false teachers. A false teacher, you will never hear a false teacher preach a sermon from chapter 2, okay? You'll never hear it. You have 22 verses. He would never touch it, believe me. So let's begin this morning, and let's look at part 1 about false teachers. It says, but there, Peter writes, there were also false prophets among the people. Now, he's speaking about in the Old Testament, the Old Covenant, okay? He says, even as there will be false teachers among you, meaning in the church. So false teachers here, it means it's talking about anyone who teaches God's word. It could be a pastor, it could be evangelist, televangelist, seminary, anybody, you know. And the problem with a false teacher is trying to detect them. I mean, they look like sheep, they act like sheep, they talk like sheep, but the fact of the matter is they are not sheep. They're counterfeits. Jesus warned us about them in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7, 15. Let me read it to you. He says, beware of false prophets, false teachers. He says, who come to you in sheep's clothing. They look like sheep. He says, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. Boy, they're hungry, aren't they? Ravenous wolves. Loved one, false teachers. Now listen, false teachers do not deceive the sheep by impersonating a sheep. They deceive the sheep by impersonating a shepherd over the flock. Oh, listen, man, you got to beware. Don't ever say that a false teacher is, oh, they're just a misguided Christian. They are not misguided Christians. They are not born from above, okay? There's no way around it. Jesus said they are ravenous wolves. They're Satan's hunters. They're looking for a victim to deceive. Satan hates the truth. Now listen, even Paul, did Paul call them savage wolves in Acts? Yes. So that's what they are. And look what they do now. These savage wolves, these false teachers who will secretly bring in or introduce destructive heresies. Now, so when they come in and they're smooth, okay? And what they do, they secretly bring in a false message using a false method, okay? They do it secretly. Now, let me tell you something about false teachers. I don't know if you've had the privilege. I don't think it was called privilege. Have you ever met a false teacher? Have you ever talked with them? I've talked with many. And I'm going to tell you something about a false teacher. The ones that I have met in my life, okay, over these many years, you like them. They're charismatic. They're personal. They just make you feel good. Just being around them, they don't have horns. You know, they don't come up and say, I'm a false teacher. I'm getting ready to ruin your life. They don't do that. They're suave. I don't know how to explain, but they really are. They're enjoyable in a sense. And they talk the Bible. They even express that they have a fervent love for the lost. But the truth of the matter is, the gospel that they preach leaves a lost person dead in trespasses and sins, because they cannot bring life because they are liars. I don't like false teachers, and God certainly doesn't like them, and you shouldn't like them at all. Now, it's very important. So here, how do we spot a spot? You know, verse 13, we're not going to be there today, but the Lord willing, next Sunday, they're called spots and blemishes. So how does a Christian spot, a false Christian? Well, Peter just told us, number one, they come in and they come in secretly, if you will, with destructive heresies. That's one way. But you're not going to know that unless you know God's word. Amen? Okay. Now, so here's what we need to understand. It says they do it secretly, and that literally means to bring alongside of. All right? Now, so here's what they do. A false teacher will come in. He's charismatic. He is very knowledgeable of God's word. He doesn't believe God's word, but he's very knowledgeable of God's word, or else he couldn't corrupt it. So they come in and they slowly, maybe if say it's a pastor, over time they start slowly laying destructive heresies, if you will, alongside the truth of God's word. See, if all they did was preach false doctrine, you'd catch them immediately, right? Okay? So they secretly come in, and here's the truth of God, but they start laying alongside of that truth the lie, and so subtle that, oh, that sounds good. Because again, if number one, if you don't know God's word, how can you pick it up? And number two, you know, you've got to be able to discern it by knowing the word of God, okay? Now, with all that being said, they're just like their father, the devil, because the devil does the exact same thing. He comes in, hears the truth of God, and he also lays a lie right beside it. You remember in the garden, and there when God told Adam and Eve, you can eat any tree you want to, but the tree of the knowledge of good and evil in the midst of the garden, you shall not eat, and the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. Remember? The only command in the Garden of Eden. Now, in chapter 3, verse 1 of Genesis, Satan, there he is, the serpent, he's up in the tree or whatever, and he says, now the serpent, the father of all lies, all right, was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And then what did Eve say? Well, no, he said, we can, but not of that tree. The day you eat of it, you surely die. And then the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die. Eve quoted God's truth. Amen? Okay, and then Satan, what did he do? Here's God's truth. Now he comes in and he lays right beside the truth and he says, oh, you shall not die. He said, listen, for God knows in the day that you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God. Eve, what's wrong with being like God? That's a great thing. Knowing, he says, good and evil. Now, we know what happened. Eve looked at the tree and so forth, and she said, oh, it was desirable to make one wise. She took of the fruit and ate and gave unto Adam her husband. Amen? And then the eyes, they were definitely opened, all right, but not the way that she wanted. Now, listen, destructive heresies. Heresy literally means, it just simply means this, to make a choice, to make a choice. Did Eve know God's truth? Okay, but she made a choice. Here was God's truth. Here's the lie right beside it. She chose the lie. She was deceived. She chose the lie. Amen? And you know the rest of the story. Listen, again, false teachers, they don't work for God. They work for the wicked one. They're not misguided Christians. They're heretics, okay? And look in verse 1 again. It says, even denying the Lord, that word means kurios, master, owner, even denying the Lord, it says, who brought them. Now, and bring on themselves swift destruction. It says, even denying the Lord. The word denying there means an ongoing, personal, conscious, and complete rejection and total disowning of Jesus Christ as Lord. That's the false teacher's heart. They want nothing to do with Jesus. Now, to deny Jesus Christ as Lord is to deny his deity. And that is the spirit. The Bible says that is the spirit of Antichrist. Let me give you the scripture, 1 John 2:22. John says, who is a liar? But he, no matter who it is, okay? Anyone who is a liar, but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ, meaning that Jesus is fully man and fully God. He is the God-man. He is Antichrist, who denies the Father and the Son. And whoever denies the Son does not have the Father either. How many times have you witnessed to someone and they say, well, I believe in God, but I don't believe in Jesus. But I believe in God, therefore I'm all right. No, it says, whoever denies the Son does not have the Father either. He who acknowledges the Son has the Father also. Amen? So Jesus told us, he said in Matthew 10:33, but whoever denies me before men, I will also deny him before my Father who is in heaven. Now, let's really look at this verse again because it's important to see something. It says there, look at it, the Lord, let me find the scripture again, there it is, even denying the Lord, who, what's that next word? Say that word with me, bought. Bought, who did he buy? He bought them. Very, very important word. He bought, it says the Lord who bought them, and that's talking about the false teachers. Now listen to me now, because that's where people go, see, they're just misguided Christians. No, no, that's not what this scripture means at all. The word bought, of course, means to buy at a price, a ransom. It means to purchase. It means to redeem. Now here's a question. Let's think real quick. Can someone be bought by Jesus Christ our Lord and then deny and completely disown him? The answer is yes. And let me prove it now, because it's important to prove what we're doing. When Jesus Christ our Lord, when he died on the cross, did Jesus pay the sin debt of the entire world? Yes. Okay, meaning all mankind. Okay, that means that yes. Now, John 1:29, what is it? Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Now, question, was Jesus' death sufficient to redeem and to purchase all mankind? Yes. Absolutely. So the answer is yes. Did Jesus, Hebrews 2:9, did Jesus taste death only for a few people or for everyone? Everyone. Now, not only that, 1 John 2:2, it says, and Jesus himself is the propitiation for our sins, but not for our sins only, but also for the sin of the whole world, meaning all of mankind. He paid it all. Amen? Now, but here's the deal. To receive that, you have to believe. Amen?
Pastor Bill will complete this message on our next broadcast, and we look forward to seeing you once again. Thanks, everyone, for listening with us today. And until next time, may the Lord bless you. Good day, everyone. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.